This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyne. Thank you so much for being with us today. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors will soon take up a proposed contract with MV Transportation to run the county's transit system. The Dallas-based company emerged as the winning bidder, though little has been publicly disclosed about the process. If the deal is finalized, the for-profit company would replace the nonprofit Milwaukee Transport Services, which has operated the transit system since 1975. We'll hear from various people interested in how the situation plays out in future days. Today, though, we're joined by MV Transportation CEO Carter Pate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mitch. Glad to be here.
How much different would you envision life would be for riders, for drivers, and for the other staff at Milwaukee County Transit if your contract is approved and MV takes over operations?
I think that they will notice the change almost overnight. We're sticklers about clean buses. And I noticed that, you know, almost the first time I showed up in town. Safety is huge with us, not only for the passengers as well as the drivers. We think that actually helps increase ridership when people view that as a safe haven to get to work, come home from work. And certainly the drivers I'm most concerned about, they need a safe environment to operate in. I think the technology that we have will blow a lot of people away. We have a lot of vision for apps where people can pull up their iPhone or Android. And instead of calling, where's my bus, you'll just pull it up on your iPhone and you can see your bus approaching the stop or look at the schedule. I think you'll see changes in re-diverting resources. We're one of the largest fuel hedgers, one of the largest fuel poolers. We have centralized buying for over $1 billion in revenue that we do. That gives us buying power that we can plow right back into the system. There's been a lot of service cuts as I've been doing my homework, and I think we've got to take a long, hard look at that in ridership. We've got to have more hours in the evenings. Not everybody works a first shift or a 9-to-5 job, and I think we have to take a long, hard look. Is this service really delivering the power to the people that need it the most to get to work or get home or for going to events? I think they'll also see tying in with rail down to Chicago or other communities where there's actually some thoughtful approach about when does the bus actually run and does the schedule match up together with other sources of transportation. So those would be some of the initial thoughts. I think people would readily see it almost from day one.
And so presumably as you approached this this bid to do this, you studied and looked for this is your assessment for where the system is falling short today?
You know, we are probably the most comprehensive studier of an existing system. We actually put people out and have been riding the buses. We actually measure wait time. We look at the routing. We look at the deficiencies in the routes. Are they scheduled right, or is there a lack of service? We look at the amount of overhead. So, you know, one of the things you get with our company is we've grown from, I guess, 26 million maybe, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago to over $1 billion in revenue. And it's because of our technology and our self-improvement. You know, in the free market, you have to be best of class in order to continue winning. And then you don't get to stay if you're not delivering a tremendous service. So with us, I guess you would see a much cleaner, a safer, and a lot more service. This is all about the passengers and the citizens here. They want the biggest bang for their taxpayer bucks.
What do you point to as the most comparable experience MV has to MCTS that you bring to the table?
Off the top of my head, Detroit's the exact same size. We were brought in to fix the transit system 3 weeks ago. We're doing a major overhaul. As you know, that city's going through a significant restructuring, exact same size. I think of Orange County, where that was one of our references that I think was called, is that that city – which technically is a not-for-profit itself, the county, is we saved them over $40 million. And instead of pocketing it, they wanted the $40 million savings plowed right back into additional service because there had been so many cuts. And we found those savings for the citizens. Orange County is a huge – that's 720 buses, I believe, we run there compared to the 400 here. So, you know, I'm thinking of Los Angeles where we run 600. I've got 800 vehicles in Dallas. I think of New York City. I've got probably 4,000 employees up in New York. So, you know, Milwaukee is a tremendous city to be fortunate enough to try to have them consider us. But I'm optimistic that we can do a terrific job here. And if we don't, you know what? We won't be asked to stay. And it's that simple. From the day we get here, we've got to over-deliver on promises made. And I hear a lot of talk about that, but that's important.
You have, in just recent days, sent a number of letters to current employees to reassure them about their pay, their benefits, their seniority, their pension plan. So clearly, you're aware you'd be facing a workforce that views this change with caution or skepticism and in some cases, suspicion. How does that affect how you'd undertake the transition? Why is it so important to be, I guess, proactive in these reassurances?
You know, I guess maybe we're a bit different. Is a lot of people have seen I'm in the city almost every week now. Is you got to be a good listener. And I'll tell you, that is the absolute management secret for me, is that if I'm out in the field listening, what are we hearing? I try to communicate directly with the employees to alleviate their natural fears. This is – look, change management is not easy. And I find this in every city we go into that is looking to take their service levels up significantly. And people are afraid of change. It's a natural human reaction. But what's also natural is to be a good listener as the CEO. And when I hear a specific concern, address it directly, try to respond directly. And, you know, look, I'm used to having incumbents throw everything they can to try to justify why they lost or didn't win or whatever. But I'm going to take the high road here. If we're fortunate enough to have the county approve us and the supervisors, I would encourage them to ask us a lot of hard questions. But I think they'll find that we're straight up. We have been with our employees. That's what's allowed us to grow. And I'm not going to change that. And I'm going to stay out in the field listening to my drivers and listening to my passengers.
There was a report back in August that many senior-level bus drivers could depart the system if the contract goes through. What is your take on that possibility? Have you seen that happen in other places where MV has taken over?
You know, I heard that in Las Vegas. I heard that in Orange County. I heard that when it took over Dallas. I heard that when it took over Houston. Look, it's natural to throw a lot of stuff out. I heard that a lot in Orange County. It was just taking on a life of its own. The simple fact is that if you don't do people right, they will leave. And I've tried to reassure everybody. If there's a driver out there listening, and I'll tell you, I've already gone on the record and you have my word, I need you. Actually, I need you worse than you need me. You may well have options, but I need safe drivers, and this is a very safe network. I just want to improve on that. And we've got some plans that we'll unveil to try to actually share some of the improved efficiency with the drivers. I'm a good listener, and I just showed up at a union hall yesterday in New York because I had heard the drivers wanted to address me directly, and I flew from New York here. That's what I do well, is listen.
What can you tell us about the person who would run the system? This is the gentleman from Green Bay.
Tremendous reputation. We considered about 30 to 40 different candidates. You know, I look at his background. He's perfect. He's made a lot of improvements. Tremendous reputation. I think he's earned the right to go to a bigger system backed by a company that will give him every bit of support he could possibly ask for. But I'm also keen to have local leadership that understands the need. Look, we have a lot of great Midwestern values here. This is the bed of hard work got us where we are. I mean, when I think of cities, Milwaukee stands out. You know, I'm a soft-tail Harley rider and have been since I was 23. This is a tremendous city, and we thought what would best serve is someone that's familiar with the region and would adapt very well. And we want them to stay too. So I'm not big on moving someone in from, you know, across the country or something like that. And I think he's going to be a tremendous asset and has certainly got all of our attention of how he manages himself, references, tremendous references on what he's done with people skills. I think it'd be a perfect fit.
Well, and you mentioned local leadership. There's, of course, an existing staff separate from the bus drivers that's been involved in administering the transit system, some for years. Would you anticipate that all of them, some of them, any of them would be likely retained with the demise of the existing company, MTS?
I'm hoping a lot of them will consider staying. You know, that'll be their option. Look, it's so early on. I haven't done an analysis, and we haven't really talked about that. But the hard facts are I need experienced people in the management team to stay and help us. We'll be doing interviews of them, and I'm hoping a lot of them will consider staying because we certainly need them.
The other aspect to this that has resulted in some concern by some in the media anyway is that the bidding process hasn't played out as publicly as they would like. Are there aspects of the bidding process you'd want to share with us?
You know, we don't even know where we ranked versus the others. And as you can imagine, we're totally at the mercy of any transit agency, city, county that wants to run its bidding. And honestly, they all run them differently. This seems to be a case in which they wanted to try to negotiate with us in private on the contract without having stones thrown in from the outside or perhaps a losing bidder saying we were willing to do this. And, all we did was put the best value we could at what we thought we could do with this transit agency. And, that'll kind of be up to them to disclose what they want to. I'm really totally at the mercy of the system on that. All I know is we were asked to come forward and talk with them. And so I'm assuming we scored well. I know it was a very competitive process. I've heard that from other competitors. But we were fortunate enough to at least be at this place where the county supervisors would consider us. And, we need to make our case to the county supervisors. And if we're worthy, perhaps they'll consider us.
And you would be okay if the county chose to disclose whatever they choose to disclose at this point?
Absolutely. We're usually, that's usually what we do face. Look, I'm all about transparency from my company, but every agency likes to run this differently, and many don't even disclose the winner when the city council chamber's over. You find out days later. So there's not a right or wrong. But the way we'll run this is full transparency, okay?
What is it about your background that brings you to this? Why is this what you do?
Well, I guess I've always had a love for transportation. I drove a school bus when I was 16 years old. It's hard to imagine nowadays that you trust a 16-year-old with your children. But back in North Carolina, we would be handpicked. I drove a school bus all through high school. That's how I got money to go to college. And that along with a lot of debt. Later on, I worked my way up through PricewaterhouseCoopers to be the U.S. managing partner of consulting, and then I worked my way up to the global managing partner of government services and infrastructure, which includes transportation. Had a great love for it and was about to retire from Pricewaterhouse, and I got a call from MV saying, we would love for you to come here and bring that expertise from a global knowledge of transports around the world. And bring this to MV. So I'm going on my third year now, and it's rapidly becoming the greatest love in my life next to my wife, if she's listening. She may say work may be sometimes more important in her field. But
well, Carter Pate, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting to know Milwaukee even better. Thanks for the time.
Carter Pate is the CEO of Dallas-based MV Transportation, which is in line to take over the contract to run Milwaukee County Transit, pending approval by the County Board of Supervisors. The reality of political town hall meetings circa 2013. We'll get some insight into how at least one elected official is keeping current with constituents when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.